Good morning and welcome to Making a Change for Good. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
Okay, well, here we go.
Here we go.
Our assignment from yesterday. Self-hate holds in place the suffering over an issue by making it you wrong. What self-hating voices do you hear around this process focus? Write down the self-hating messages. Example, there's no hope for you. You can't even get a start on doing something you enjoy, like traveling. RL what you're seeing. Note, never record self-hating messages. All right, here's our first caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Good morning. This is Kate from Seattle.
Hello, Kate. What are you seeing? Oh, dear.
Well, she seems to have dropped off the queue. All right. I'll keep an eye.
Well, it was wonderful to hear her voice.
I know. But I'll keep an eye out for her. And here we go. Here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, Sherry. Hello, Ashwini. Hello, Sangha.
Hello, Brian.
I guess the last couple of days has been sort of joyful and bright. I really appreciated yesterday. It's been sort of a struggle getting things set up here. And then yesterday was one of those things that it occurred to me that the joy of practice, and yesterday I was actually feeling joyful, is to always be ready to recalibrate and reinitiate back to the moment. Always, always, always. And I love that so much that we're practicing the whole idea about beginnings, because there's so much baggage attached to that word. And I've noticed that almost every day when I've been doing recording and listening. Conditioning says beginnings mean to be afraid, to be scared of what's coming next, to be successful, to not be successful. When in reality, it's just a continuation of experience. It's just that ongoing flow. Yeah. And I love that so much that yesterday just really embedded that in me. Because there was that sense of joy yesterday, despite all the things we were struggling with. And I really loved being in Sangha yesterday because there was so much communion going on.
Yeah, when you were saying that, Brian, I thought about, you know, when we were little kids, everything was a beginning, and it was just really, everything was thrilling, everything was exciting, everything was interesting and new, and right? And then we got, then the conditioning started, that we had to perform, and we had to do well, and we had to get it right, and we had to meet standards, and slowly, it didn't seem so slow, but over time, we learned to be afraid of now.
Yes. Yes, exactly. And I've really noticed in this retreat that conditioning is always attacking the most immature part. It's no matter what's going on,
yes,
it's going to say something to attack the youngest part of me, whatever part that may be under the circumstances. And it's so exciting to know that, because I can look at that and go, well, it's just, that's just what it is. That's not me. That's not,
yes,
it's not my, it's not even my experience. It's just something attacking a thought structure. I'm excited about this.
Well, and me too, Brian. And to me, it's the opportunity then that we have to say, things hurt people, right? Things hurt people.
Yeah.
And so to bring conscious awareness to that. So there you were, you know, 5 years old, and something happened, and you were devastated by it. And it's like, you know, with karma, it's like carrying wounds. Mm-hmm. Right. And as you say, then ego could come in because ego knows all of these things, right? And
yes.
just poke at that old wound. And so for us to be aware of it, as you're describing, then we can be right there in complete acceptance of what happened then, of the wound that remains in karma, and to bring all of that into unconditional love and acceptance. And I'm not suggesting we need to, you know, get in there and poke around. We don't. It's just being able to approach everything that is ostensibly from the past, which, of course, does not exist. And so if it weren't present for us, we wouldn't be having the experience right now. So just to embrace it all in acceptance, that's it. That's what ends it.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes,
something
yes.
happened, and it's fine. We're all right here.
And I guess once again, I'm really looking at this year especially, that the practices to keep coming back. I mean, I don't know why that just stays in my head now that is the practice. I guess because I always thought I was going
yes.
somewhere, but in reality,
right.
I am somewhere now. I don't have to go anywhere, but I just need to come back. Yeah, and it's joyful. I mean, there's a, I don't know what other word to use. It's joyful to do that. There's a joy in
yes.
that.
Yes, all we're practicing is being here in acceptance. And that is a joyful process, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's so funny because it's not
all
that
right.
hard. Well, thank you very much.
No.
Thank you for this retreat.
Wait, before you go, thank you too, because that last sentence is the whole deal. Ego says, oh my God, that is just we're not in this lifetime. It is not hard at all.
Right.
Be here in acceptance. Just
yeah.
be here, say yes. We can
yeah.
practice that.
Yeah.
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 All right.
Yeah.
Thank you, Brian.
Thank you so much.
Thanks,
okay.
Brian.
Go happy.
Sherry, I just wanted to make a technical announcement. If people are on the app and for some reason we're not able to maintain the Q&A environment and people want to mute themselves, there's a little microphone at the bottom of the app. It looks like a question mark. If you hover over it, it turns from a little question mark to a microphone, and you can mute yourself just in case.
Oh, lovely.
Okay. So here's the thing.
Yeah, and if the sound quality is horrible, don't feel that you're alone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. The thing that was dropping in for me when Brian was talking, right, Sherry, is that that's such a beautiful beginning that the movement into acceptance heals all karma, and we're given a new beginning,
yes.
right? That we're not required
yes.
to be imprisoned by the past in the present moment if we make that movement.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And of course, the movement away from this here now acceptance is into feeling bad, into guilt, into remorse, into a conversation in conditioned mind about what happened and how it should have gone and how I should have been. And all of that is the way the suffering is perpetuated.
Yes.
If we want to end the event and end the suffering, we simply accept it all in this here now.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, it's Risa.
Hey, Risa.
Hi.
Yes, as well as I can hear anybody, which I feel is somewhat miraculous.
Yeah, me too.
How are beginnings?
Well, I've been seeing that you can never know when something is a beginning. And
that's exactly correct.
And when I looked at that, in light of the Martin Luther King Stairway quote that was part of the kickoff of the month,
mm-hmm.
I saw that there's a conditioned belief that I am responsible for creating the stairway. Not for walking down the stairway. I need to be creating the stairway as I'm walking down the stairway. And to see that I never know when something is a beginning requires a disidentification from the role of the creator of life and reality.
That is exactly right. And so to break that down for anybody who is not following that, in order to be the I that is going to create, and that's a very good word for it, because ego is the creator of these false realities. So in each moment, as we've been talking about, each moment is a beginning. It's brand new. And that thought of I, who is going to do whatever, that requires a movement out of present. Yeah? And so that explains why I can never recognize a beginning, because a beginning is now, and I is not now.
Yeah.
So the minute we become somebody, well, we could end the sentence there, but the moment that we become somebody, an ego who knows something, we are actually in the past. We're out of the moment, and we know nothing. We're not in the beginning. We're old news.
Yeah, absolutely. And when I imagine trying to build a stair while walking down a stair, and the complexity of like trying not to fall over your hands, but your hands have to be below your feet because you're like constructing this thing. That,
yes.
Imagining that, I feel a physical experience that's similar to the experience I feel sort of regularly these days. When I think about the ease of simply walking down a flight of stairs, I have an entirely different physiological experience just even thinking about that action. And to feel that difference, to go through that consideration feels like such a relief to feel the difference between those two sensations.
Yes. And if we want to continue with your image, of course, life is building the stairs, unfolding each step as you need to put your foot on it, right? And life is also the railing that will support and steady you as you take each step.
So in fact, you're walking down the stairs with your hands on a railing, and the stairs are constructing themselves beneath your feet, which is quite a magical experience.
It is. Life is magical, isn't it? We miss the magic. Yeah. Because we're noodling in conditioned mind about stuff that doesn't exist.
Yeah.
It's pretty fun, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thank you for that, Risa. That was great.
Thank you, Sherry. And Ashwini and everyone.
Talk to you soon.
Thanks, Risa.
Thank you.
Oh, I just love the images we come up with, Cherry. And the way you articulated how we miss the moment, because we can't know the now if we're identified with the creator. It's just,
yes.
I think
ego, the ego creator.
Yeah, it's so wonderful when we can, as a Sangha, pay such close attention that we can actually articulate really, really subtle and almost impossible to articulate things. And that what you said
yes.
takes us to an experience that is absolutely true.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the wonderful part of it is, it is our experience. You know, when we go back to that hidden in plain sight, that's what we're up against. The things that we talk about are our experience. We're just so conditioned not to see them.
Mm, yeah. Yeah. Yes. Yes. It's the veil image.
The veil, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and what Teresa was talking about, it's the shift in attention. As soon as I have my attention on seeing as opposed to not seeing, I can see how it is.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Which we call insight.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's that little peek behind the veil, or mm-hmm. there's a little rent in the veil, and we get a glimpse.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. It's Loren.
Hey, Loren.
Oh, you can hear.
A lot about you, Loren.
Yeah?
Yeah,
you can hear me.
Yeah, I think about, yeah, we can hear you.
Great.
Think about those of you on the front lines in
yeah.
all of this that we're going through. And so I like to take every opportunity to say thank you. So thank you for what you're doing.
Thank you. And I am safe. And thank you for thinking of me.
Mm-hmm.
And I have picked as my focus for this month the thinking of the beginning that arises when I have an opportunity to respond, when something starts at work, because I do two jobs that are everything going on in the world right now means that we are making important decisions, and that suddenly all of our decisions start to feel very important. And I noticed, yes, and mm-hmm. and I even the ones that aren't, it just sort of starts to bleed everywhere, that sense of it. And I started to notice how much of the past I was bringing in to my interactions with my coworkers, and what I was projecting onto what they expected from me. And so I decided to make that my focus in new beginnings. And wow, I've really gotten to see a lot of, I think I'm having this experience of getting to see the aspects of ego and the subpersonalities in a new way, because it suddenly clicked in that I'm not doing these assignments to try to make sense of all these parts of myself and kind of become some kind of ringleader mm-hmm. that understands and controls them all, but just to go, whoa, like, look how much of the past and unhelpful assumptions is operating in every moment.
Yes, yes, exactly so. It shakes us back to what we were talking about a little bit ago, right? That our role, so first of all, I want to say, just to remind us all that every moment is a life and death decision,
mm-hmm.
right? Because we're either here in life or we're off in ego, which is the equivalent mm-hmm. of death. And And of course, it's where all bad decisions and choices come from, right? But to realize that the opportunity that we have is to be there in that place of acceptance so that you see it, you recognize it, and you're here, right? Because if we're being dragged off into the past, and ego, of course, is going to use everything to assert its authority, right? So when it really, you know, everybody would agree now it's life and death, then ego is just, you know, salivating and rubbing its little imaginary hands together, because this is just a green light in almost every life to be taken over by egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate. Because this is really real. This is really real. And so we really need to look to conditioned mind to get us through this. I bet you're seeing that at work.
Yes, but I'm seeing it in myself more than, of course, because that's where I've been looking, because the timing was so perfect of our year-long retreat starting, and then this focus of beginnings, and then deciding that I was going to look at, okay, the beginning of when I'm triggered about something at work or with a coworker, and I'm seeing these aspects of ego that are not new to this situation, but I have never been able to see them so clearly. Like one of the sub personalities that I wrote about a few days ago, I call it like the benevolent dictator, and it's the part of me that actually really is a dictator, but does it with so much you know, sense of like kindness and goodness, or like fake put around it. But underneath it is really that I just want everyone to agree with me and I'm just seeing it with no self-hate and just seeing it for it's the role it plays in the duality, which is the flip side of that is the shame of, you know, nobody likes someone who's perfect and or what, you know, whatever it is. And I'm just seeing it all so clearly.
And Lorraine, yes, and the one I want to underline for you, because otherwise you're going to go down a track that is absolutely unnecessary. That is not you.
Yes.
None of that is you. None of it. None of it. So is ego a dictator? You betcha. Does it have the ability to make nice and act like it's not trying to control everyone and everything in the world? Absolutely. Will it beat you and anybody else bloody if it has a chance, if you don't meet its standards and do what it says? Absolutely. But you, let's not forget, authentically are the awareness that is aware of all of that.
Yes, thank you. I really can see that in it right now, and now I have a recording here that's the proof that I saw that it wasn't me.
That's right. It's not you. It is not you.
Yeah. So thank you.
All right. Well, it's good to hear from you. Keep taking good care of yourself, okay?
Yes. Yes, you too. Thank you, everyone. Right. Thank you, Ashwini.
Right.
Thank you, Sangha.
Thanks, Lorraine.
Thanks, Lorraine.
Bye.
It's so important to make that movement too, right, Cherry, to recognize how the ego asserts itself and actually how it controls us without seeing it as, without that self-hate that Lorraine was pointing to, because if I feel the self-hate, then I've identified with it. Either I am the dictator or I'm at fault for having an ego, neither of which are helpful.
Neither is true, neither is helpful. My God, that's helpful.
Well, and because there's a way in which I don't have to come from there. You know, I can't.
Yes.
That's what acceptance is. If I don't see it, how do I know not to be it or not to be controlled by it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. We are practicing awareness. And again, the one of ego's great places of success is to make us feel bad when we become aware of what it's doing.
Yes.
So trying to train us not to be aware as a way to avoid feeling bad.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, that is
that's a coup
diabolical.
Yes, it's a coup for that program.
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right. I think we have time for one more caller, so here we go. Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Vanessa. Can you hear me?
Hey, Vanessa.
Hey.
Yes. Pretty darn
I always put
well.
A question. Good. I always put a question mark at the end of my name, but I do know it is Vanessa, more or less.
You know your name is Vanessa, but you know you
right.
are not Vanessa. Yes, very
right.
good, very good.
Right. Well, what I was looking at, you know, the voices of self-hate and just, I guess what I saw this morning when I was looking at it was that that in attending to the voices of self-hate, the human being is really just completely left out.
Yes.
And it just felt
ready
really
to tumble down those tumble down those stairs. Risa was pointing at, right? In grave danger.
Right. Right, right. Or just completely just like it's she's doing whatever she's doing and supposedly attention is on her by saying all these, you know, oh, well, you're not doing this or I can't do that or whatever. But really she's just over there completely, you know, it has nothing to do with her and what she's doing. I don't know,
That's
that
right.
just felt really big
Although
when
she
I saw
is.
It this morning.
Yes. Yes, well, it's huge because actually she's abandoned. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Because,
mm-hmm.
yes, yeah, so it's true. She's not doing all of the things that she's being accused of, or she's not doing all of the things that she's being accused of not doing. None of what's going on in that rant has anything to do with her. But attention is on the rant instead of her.
That's how
people, they're in a car accident and they cannot figure out how it happened. You know, I didn't even see that car. I didn't, you know, whatever it was. Well, yeah, probably because attention was in conditioned mind on some phony picture that it was presenting for the person, and there was nobody mind in the store. Attention was not available to be with the human being in awareness where the human being is in the moment.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and then another sort of thing I saw about maybe the assignment before, let me see if I can, was that when I, like getting out of duality, like if I take all the, so what I notice is the duality is set up with, you know, it's going to be like this, you're not going to succeed, you're going to succeed, it's going to be good, you're going to fail, da, da, da. So it's all about you or a me or whatever. If I take all that out, then what was available was just learning, you know, just learning, just gathering and learning and letting life. And then I guess it's just like the staircase. Then the staircase gets built by life, and all I'm doing is just like, you know, stepping down.
Taking the next step. Taking the step that's here now.
Right.
Exactly so. Yeah. So you have kids, and so you know that you would not think that you would be improving their chances in life if you spent all of your time inside your head in a conversation with ego about you.
Right.
Because you can see that they would be completely on their own, right? There would be nobody, there would be nobody attending to them. Well, you have three kids, right? And so when you're, when you are not attending to the human being, Vanessa is completely on her own.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So anything that might be there to support her, you're not, I'm never, or whatever, attention is never going to see it because it's, there's not, she's not there. She can't see it. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. So that's right. So there, thank God, you know, she's, life is living, Vanessa, right? But no thanks to you, okay? When you're not there with attention on awareness in the moment. All right. Very good. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you, Ashwini.
Go
thank
ahead.
You, Sangha.
Thanks, Vanessa. And Sherry, that brings us to the end of the show, and our assignment is, there's always an implied message underlying what self-hate says. Like the raised eyebrow that is loaded with meaning, every self-hating voice is loaded with implications. Assignment, what message about who or how you are is being implied by the self-hate messages? Example, the underlying message in there's no hope for you, you can't even get a start on something you enjoy, is how inadequate to my life I am. RL, what you see. Reminder, never record any self-hating messages.
All right, well, this has felt like a bit of a wonder time.
Yes.
And so
well, I think,
thank you to everybody.
I think START meeting and all of us have worked together to understand their new interface, and so I think we're moving towards at least being able to be with what with the changes. We'll see what happens.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. And if the sound is bumpy, well, at least we have sound.
That's right. All right. Thank you, Sherry.
All right. Thank you, Ashwini. Thank you, everybody. Go happy.